Hello and welcome in to the Bad Grand Fantasy Football Podcast, Wednesday, October 25th. We're here recording from where we are to where you are. I am Blake, your host, joined only by Rob this week. Tyler is out, so we got a sweet duo podcast. Rob, how is this week treating you?
This week's treating me good so far. Let's hope it continues.
All right, we got a fun show, as always, for you out there, oh, listener one. Because I'm sure there's only one person out there that listens to this podcast through and through, but we're here for you. We're going to go over our news and notes, mainly injuries from this last weekend, hit up our transactions. We had another trade post-podcast last week, waiver additions, and then go through our matchups. And if I can get together my scattered thoughts between now and then, I might have a small little game for you to play, Rob.
All right, sounds good.
Let's see. I think I did this last week. Didn't I ask you a question before we got into the injuries?
Yes, you did. I believe so.
So let me see if I can't think of one real quick. It's a pretty prevalent subject. Let's talk about officiating.
All right.
Between Saturday and Sunday, in football, there were some pretty horrendous calls, in your face, very televised issues with officiating. Just what's your opinion on it so far, and how do we fix it?
I mean, I don't know how you fix it, to be fair, but the problem as I see it is, at least in the NFL, is that replay is more of a crutch where you just call something and we'll just use replay to figure it out. We're not even going to try to assess it on the field. We'll just make a call and then let replay decide. Oh, was that a forward pass or a fumble? I don't know. Let's call it a fumble. That way there's a change of possession. And then, oh, the automatic replay. Oh, nope, it wasn't. You know, then so referees are having to rely less and less on, I don't know if you want to call it skill or judgment or whatever, and lean more on the instant replay. So I think that's why there's a problem there. I know specifically we're talking about the Iowa play. I mean, I don't know how that happens. When you decide you're reviewing something for one thing and just like, up, we see something else, take it away. I mean, that, and then you've got Jim Irsay, owner for the Colts, saying they want to start reviewing penalties because they got jobbed out of something against Cleveland. It's like, then it's just all interpretation if you start bringing penalties in the mix. I don't like replay as much as, maybe that's because I'm old, I'm a traditionalist. Make the call, live with good or bad, and let's, you know, I only like replay in limited circumstances myself.
Yeah. On what Jim Irsay said, I don't hate that. Like, you know, in the last 2 minutes of the game, we have a 2 minute warning at the end of the game. And all booth reviews or all reviews are booth essentially. I don't hate that all penalties can be reviewable in that time, but it can be a slippery slope when, yeah, well, why not the last 5 minutes of the game? Because that's pretty important too.
Well,
you know, why not anytime? Because anytime penalties are thrown,
it can be. And here's the thing: is it just reviewing a penalty that's called, and you just see if that was a penalty, or what about a penalty that's not called, which happens all the time? Then what are we going to slow the game down all the time because the coach says, "Oh, I flagged for holding that wasn't called. He held my guy," and you go to replay. Oh, I guess he was holding. I mean, you'd have to draw a line somewhere, and then. If you draw a line that it's got to be called, then you're going to get people crying that the egregious penalty that doesn't get called. I think what the problem is we try to regulate to the lowest common denominator because somebody got jobbed on something, and now we got to make a rule so nobody gets jobbed. And then it's like you just make it worse and worse and worse. It's like, fine, live with it. You got jobbed. Fuck it and move on. It just makes me angry, as you can tell, that people nowadays are just like, we've got to try to find a way to legislate out of this ever happening again, and then you ruin it. You ruin everything when you do that.
Yeah, but then there's also the those extenuating examples like the Dolphins Eagles game on Sunday night where there's no penalties called against the Eagles the entire game, and you can look back and see a dozen different instances. Well, okay, these are all blatant fouls that were not called, and that it directly influenced the game. So how do you solve that? It's not up to us, but it's definitely a discussion worth having within the right circles.
Well, and that's what grading crews is for. And if crews continually miss calls like that, they should be penalized, meaning they should not be able to continue next year. You should get strikes on your record as a referee or as a crew chief or whatever. You're in charge of the whole thing. And if you are, if you continuously, egregiously make egregious calls like this or miss them, you should not be a referee. Sorry.
Yeah. I also think it's worth discussing, you know, just a little talk about having an official, like, third party officiating crew, you know, having a pipeline for having professional refs instead of volunteer part-time guys who go out there and do it. I think that's a really something valuable discussion worth having, but we can move on. Let's get into talking about some fantasy here. The news.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
All right, had to play that one because Tyler refused to play it for me last week. Let's start with our most chronologically important news. Baker Mayfield officially questionable for tomorrow's game with a knee injury. Playing, are they, I think they're home against the Bills. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes. I know they're playing the Bills. I believe they're home.
So, yeah, I mean, what do you think? Baker, obviously nobody, I don't think I have him on my team, so nobody in our league is starting him this week. But how much does Baker being questionable or potentially out affect all the other pieces which are being started for the Tampa Bay Bucs?
I mean, from what I read, I still think he's going to play. But obviously, if that changes and he doesn't, it's a big problem because you can't just bring in the backup and just expect the offense to continue like it has. Because Baker, surprisingly to some, has done pretty well this year.
No, Purdy, you know, plays for the San Francisco.
Well, you're right. He does. Okay, then he does Metcalf well. Anyway, I think it does bring down all of your, you know, if you're playing any offensive people from Tampa Bay, it brings it down, especially with that Bills defense, which is pretty good. So, yeah, it can't be good if he doesn't play.
Alrighty, let's. I'm scrolling through. I didn't make any list today out there, folks. So I'm just kind of.
I have a couple three, Blake, that would be concerning or would affect things. If you want me to bring those up.
I was scrolling through here and I saw an illness that Alvin Kamara doesn't practice today because of an illness, but that reminded me of Bijan last Sunday.
Right.
Apparently had an illness Saturday night.
Yeah, I got like headaches real bad and just couldn't do anything. Yeah,
Arthur Smith didn't report it to the NFL.
Which he should have.
And that's why he was in trouble for that sideline all game, not playing, had one snap. Yeah, so that doesn't bode well, and Arthur Smith is questionable coach at best.
Yeah, okay, yeah, he should be questionable all the time.
What do you have?
Well, I mean, like, let's go to the Colts. We'll go to running back. Zach Moss, who has been, you know, great for Indy all year. Still even last week with Jonathan Taylor in his third game back?
Yep.
They still pretty much split time. He did not practice with elbow and heel issues today. So if you own Jonathan Taylor, keep an eye on that, because if for some reason Zach Moss misses, you are in line for some work this weekend.
Yeah, I like that in Dynasty.
Yeah, I'm sure. Another one I saw, speaking of Brock Purdy, he had issues after the game on the flight home and is in the concussion protocol. And as we've mentioned on this very podcast in weeks past, that when you're in the concussion protocol, you do not clear this year by the weekend. So Brock Purdy, very, very, very questionable to play this weekend. Might miss a game. It might be former Panther, former Jet.
Darnold.
Thank you. It might be his turn this weekend. But you want to hear, yeah, you want to
hear a fun fact, even though this isn't our Dynasty podcast?
Sure, throw it in there.
I have Sam Darnold. I believe I have him in that league. Yeah, I do. I have him in that dynasty. So if Sam Darnold starts, that means I think he'll have six starting quarterbacks in Dynasty.
That's insanity. And then the last one that has big ramifications because it's a big name, and just because they were like nobody gave any clarity to it, is Tyreek Hill. Did not practice today. You know, all the there's a bunch of people that were limited, and if you're limited on Wednesday, you're probably playing, so it's not a big deal. But he did not practice at all. And when asked at practice, Waddle, who was limited because he, you know, left the game, but still practiced limitedly, whatever that word would be, or Tua, were evasive and did not provide any clarity on what the heck was going on and why he was missing practice or when he would come back. And so, since he's such a big name, it's only Wednesday, he's probably going to, you know, he's been in this boat before several times this year and has always played. Same with Waddle. Waddle can leave a game and come back. I mean, that guy's crazy. He's always injured and always plays. So,
yeah, for Thursday, I just saw that Chris Godwin was questionable officially. He practiced in full today, but he's got a neck injury that potentially could hold him out. So that's just another issue with the Bucs offense.
And I guess one last one, Hockenson didn't practice today. He left the play after that Addison had cramps and left and went into the locker room probably to get some juice, probably an IV. Hockenson got like his foot pinned under him and left for a play, then came back in. So it's that foot. So he didn't practice today. Probably since he finished the game, a maintenance thing, because it's not an ankle sprain or anything. He probably just like got his, you know, foot mashed or something. So, but keep an eye on it. I mean, it's, we'll see if he gets a limited in tomorrow and Friday. He's fine.
Yeah, to round it out, a couple Chargers. Josh Palmer had popped up with a knee injury. It did not practice today. That there's not a lot of information on that one on when the knee injury happened. And then also Gerald Everett, non-participant today in practice with a hip injury. He left the game or suffered a quad injury during the game in week 7, but now is on the report with a hip injury. So keep an eye on both of those. I don't know if anybody's starting Gerald Everett, but Josh Palmer is definitely a flex starter for sure.
Yeah. And one last one that's not an injury, just actually a full participant, Kyler Murray, who was limited last week, full participant in practice. They didn't activate him yet last week, but he's within that 21-day window. Certainly possible they could do it this week. So keep an eye on that if you own any Cardinals. That would would assume that would be a boon to offensive players there.
Yeah. All right. I think we nailed that. A little bit of patchwork news and notes section for you guys. Let's get into our league transactions.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
All righty. let's talk chronologically here. Last Wednesday, 9 p.m., 9:16 to be exact, trade goes through. Rob, quit doing trades.
Right after podcast?
The night of the podcast. Because when I load up the transaction screen on podcast Wednesday, the trades are not on my first page. So I forget they happen because I only have a 4-day memory. My RAM is pretty small.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, between the Kegerator and Fly Eagles Fly, big swap of 4 players here. Kegerator trades Hurts of the Jalen variety, Juju Smith-Schuster, Dalvin Cook, and Dak Prescott to Fly Eagles Fly. Receiving Zach Moss, KJ Osborne, Matt Stafford, and Lamar Jackson. Take us through this one, Rob.
So, for me, it was mostly about quarterback. Up until this week, Lamar Jackson was up and down, right? Matt Stafford's whatever. Zach Moss is starting to, as we have been talking, seeding carries and seeding work to Taylor. And KJ Osborne was just a guy I picked up. I have TJ Hockenson too. So to me, I was giving Nate Osborne to, you know, because he's got Jefferson to help him out there. Zach Moss, he's got Taylor that helps him out there. Giving him Lamar and Stafford, and I was getting Jalen Hurts, and Prescott's fine, but Hurts to go with A.J. Brown to get that stack. And then I could have given 2 cruds about Schuster and Cook. So for me, it was getting a more consistent quarterback week to week and getting that stack with AJ Brown.
Okay, yeah, and I think that's exactly what it appears. I don't see a glaring winner or loser here at the time. Obviously, then Lamar Jackson plays one of the better defenses in the NFL and scores however many he did, an egregious amount of points.
40-something. So, yeah.
48.
Yeah, his best game. So, and I got in the 30s, which was still fine. It was the best I've gotten out of a quarterback all year, but, you know, it's good. Go, Nate. Good job.
All right, as far as the waivers that ran, nothing major this week like the $50 bomb that was dropped last week.
Right.
We've got a $0 add for Cam Akers to your team, Rob.
Yep.
$0, Gardner Minshew dropping Jared Goff. And I added the Seahawks D dropping the Raiders D for $0. I forget who the Seahawks are playing this week. But I didn't like the matchup of the Cowboys versus the Rams. And Seahawks are playing Cleveland, which, even though their defense is pretty good, I mean, P.J. Walker's going to get the start. He could make some mistakes. So
exactly.
For a dollar, we've got DeMario Douglas, receiver for New England, added to the Reapers.
Yeah, good here. He had a good game last week. He's he's dropping Ingram, who has been like nothing for Arizona.
Yeah, Devin Singletary coming out of the bye added to Cut My Tea Bags for $4, dropping Jameson Williams. What do you think about Devin Singletary?
I mean, that's a good play. I made a spot for him. I mean, or I should say I made an offer for him, just $0 because I didn't want to put any money on him. But he's starting to get more work than Pierce because Pierce, the year started off real positive because they used him in the passing game, you know, in preseason. It was like, oh, if he's going to get this usage, oh, he's going to be the guy. And it started off okay. Well, he's just been falling off a cliff and he's getting less and less work. And Singletary's getting more work. And the fact is that they're having to pass a little bit more, and that passing game is working, and the running game isn't. And since the passing game is working, Singletary's in there more. So he, going forward, and especially coming out of the bye, he just might be the guy. Rhyme intended.
All right, I added Pierre Strong Jr., who's running back for the Cleveland Browns, for $7. The next highest was $4. Jerome Ford went down with an injury. Last week, Pierre Strong actually looked decent in that backfield, and they're kind of a run-first offense, so we'll see. It's worth $7 to just see.
No, and Tyler tried to throw four at it. A good ad, Blake, especially for the short term, the next 2 to 3 games. They didn't put him on IR forward, so he's not going to miss four. But yeah, because they're not. It's not like they're going to say, "Hey, Kareem Hunt, you're running the ball the whole time." No, he's going to get the same action. They got to put somebody else in there. And Pierre Strong looked okay. I mean, he's not going to, you know, murder you with his skills. But for a team that likes to run the ball, and they, like you said, is going to start P.J. Walker. So P.J. Walker is not going to throw it all over the field for 350 yards. They want to run that ball. And Strong is a good, for the short term, is a great ad.
And then the big ad this week, Dalton Kincaid for $12 to the Corn Wieners. Next highest was Nick at $6. Kincaid, a lot of work. And then didn't Dawson Knox have an injury last week?
He's on IR.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's the Kincaid show. He's already shown signs with Knox in there. With Knox out now, he becomes, like, PPR-wise, the number two receiver on that team.
Yep.
Like it. And Corn Wieners needed another tight end. I mean, needed a more productive tight end, let's go with that, than what they've been putting out there. Because for whatever reason, all of a sudden, Henry's been hurt for New England. And then now they like to throw to three guys. Gesicki, Farrell Brown, Henry. You just can't depend on it. You need a touchdown out of Hunter Henry to get anywhere. So for our league, Kincaid, great ad for Sam.
All right, that's it for our transactions. I thought I might have been able to think of a game before we go into our matchups, but I failed to. So I think we're just going to go straight into our matches.
So we got a buzzer.
What?
I was doing a buzzer sound like we failed from a game. Yeah.
All right. Just hang with me here.
Well, I'm hanging.
What's the normal bumper for the matchups?
Matchups? It's usually the one that goes Dumbledore or something like that.
Is that this one?
I don't know. We'll try it.
Nailed it. Number one host over here. Audio engineer.
Boom. Boom.
Certified.
The Bulldogs.
Yale Bulldogs. Yale Bulldogs.
Oh, wow.
Not so fast.
All right. First matchup this week is going to be the Fly Eagles Fly, sitting at 5-2, projecting 166 points. Versus the Cut My Teabag, also 5-2, projected 142. Rob, why don't you take us down your team here?
All right. So playing Jalen Hurts, obviously, at the Commanders. Obviously, McCaffrey, Ken Walker, A.J. Brown, Puka Nacua, Hockenson, Waddle, Zay Flowers, and the Chiefs defense. So, I mean, I feel good about them all except Ken Walker. Against Cleveland, we'll have to see, though they've been giving up rushing yards recently. Hockenson, obviously, we talked about, you know, he missed practice. As long as he plays, he'll be fine against Green Bay. Waddle, he'll play. And Arizona can't, after what we saw what Baltimore did, I think they should continue it against Arizona. And we're talking the Chiefs against Denver. So I like my team this week.
All right. Did you go through your bench at all? Sorry, I was looking at something else. You got any decisions?
Somewhat. I mean, I have Aaron Jones, and I have A.J. Dillon against Minnesota, though. I mean, Minnesota's been playing really good defense recently, and even though McCaffrey, who's great, scored two touchdowns, he did not have a great per carry against that team, and Green Bay hasn't, you know, obviously looked great. I don't think I want to play Cam Akers. I'm obviously not going to play Dak or Wandell. And then I'm not going to play Najee Harris because Jacksonville's a great run defense. So, yeah, I think I've got, you know, backup pieces on my bench, but my lineup is my lineup.
All right. Cut My Teabags is going to play against you here with C.J. Stroud at Carolina, Derrick Henry and Darrell Henderson Jr. with the running back spots, Tyreek Hill with that questionable tag like we talked about, Gabe Davis. Tight end is Jake Ferguson. Flex, Cooper Kupp and Chris Olave. Boy, it must be nice to flex Kupp and Olave. Although, right. A little bit of news that we didn't talk about is Olave was arrested Monday.
For speeding.
It was 35 miles per hour over the posted speed limit, and I heard that the posted limit was 35. So he's going 70 in a 35.
Not great.
He also
said, "Do you know who I am?"
Yeah, you know, so? I play for the Saints, man. He said,
"So, don't care."
Defense is the Lions at home against the Raiders. Oh boy! So looking at Nick's team, I mean, the Darrell Henderson Jr. start isn't great at a Dallas lineup or a Dallas front that's decent at stopping the run. But also, I don't like playing Brian Robinson against Philly. So
no, I hate that. And Robinson has been doing terrible recently. So I get why he does that. He's doing that, yes.
Deonta Foreman at the Chargers?
Well, the other guy.
Roschon Johnson?
Roschon Johnson. I was going to say Rondell Johnson, but it's Robinson. Yes, Roschon may be coming back, and so that might muddy that water a little bit. I don't think he's going to get the full – everything to himself like he did this last week.
Craig Reynolds. There's a lot of running backs on this butt roster. I mean, Devin Singletary at Carolina.
I mean, yeah, you just did pick him up. And, yeah, I mean, there's ways he can go if he needs to.
Yeah, I don't mind the Singletary at Carolina pick for starting over Darrell Henderson. That'd probably be my number one option if looking.
Mind that. Otherwise, your receivers. I mean, you're not changing that. You can't really do anything at tight end, especially with Musgrave drawing a questionable tag. And your defense is your defense. I mean, Lions should do better at home against Vegas than they did the big toilet burger that they laid defensively last week. So yeah.
All right. Hold on a second.
All right, I'm gonna get my dice. Are we gonna pick?
I was gonna pick.
All right, go ahead.
Let's go. There we go. So I'm trying to figure out Tyler's spreadsheet here. I'm going okay. Flag of Slide. I think you're gonna take this one for sure.
All right, I'm rolling. Well, you look, tell me what Tyler picked.
Let's see. Eagles fly, Eagles fly. He says, love the actual Eagles stack this weekend against bad Washington passing D. Rob can crushes this week with what looks like a flawless lineup. I'm glad I'm not playing him.
Okay, I rolled a 6.
That'll be even, which is fly, Eagles fly.
And I'm picking myself. Okay. Is that the sweepers?
That is a sweep. Sorry, I messed this up.
That's all right. Mark it down. And while you're in there, can you see what we did last week? Or is that too difficult since you don't have the spreadsheet?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you don't have?
I don't have that on this spreadsheet. So
okay. We'll move on.
Tyler gave me a very limited spreadsheet, it looks like.
Okay, that's cool.
Only to fill out this week.
Okay.
All
cool. Right, what's on the docket?
Yeah, next up is a lot of moving around, moving parts over here. Next up is the 6-1 Hawaiian Shakas, currently projected 155 points, versus the 3-4 Backdoor Hot Snakes.
Ooh.
That is me.
I like the way you say that, but the Backdoor Hot Snakes.
Yeah, so let's hit through Shaka's lineup here.
Okay.
It is Tua, home against New England. And Rob, if you have something to say about any of these guys, just jump in.
Yeah, I'll just jump in. I mean, I like Tua much better at home against New England than I would in New England. So I think they always play better in Miami.
Yep. Sticking with the same game, Ramondre Stevenson at one of the running back spots. Other running back is DeAndre Swift on the road. Receivers, Stephon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb, both at home.
Yep. Should do great, both of them.
Darren Waller with a questionable tag.
Yeah, it's groin. It's groin. It's the same thing as last week. Yes, it's for old balls, Waller. It's pun intended, groin. It's a maintenance thing. He'll be back at practice tomorrow.
Flex is Jahmyr Gibbs and DJ Moore.
Yep.
Gibbs coming off a monster performance and a huge loss. And then we got the Ravens D at Arizona.
Ravens D is really good. And I really like them this week. Jahmyr Gibbs should do more of the same as he did last week, because Montgomery is not going to be back this week. So a good, strong starting lineup, as always, evidenced by the Shakas being 6-1.
Yeah, and I'm going to let you look through their bench and see if they got any question marks that they can plug in. I'm not going to tell them what I would do because I don't want to beat myself.
Yeah, I mean, your weak spot is Stevenson, because he really hasn't done much this year. You could really look at Javonte Williams here. Though Denver's just been so bad, and against Kansas City, it's hard to tell if Kansas City's going to stop the run or not. And it's hard to know what Denver's going to do because they just don't lean on Javonte Williams as a true back. They like put Jameel in a bunch of times and they put other guys in. So you just can't depend on him. So I can see why he's got Stevenson in there, because it's just Zeke that he's, going up against. Other than that, I don't see anything. I mean, you're not going to play Minshew above Tua. You're not going to put Josh Kelly, who he just picked up, in. No, that is it.
All right. Before we get into going through my team here, I just want everybody to know we have a special guest joining us to replace Tyler on this matchup. Just so we have some incoherent babble on this podcast, Talia, my daughter, will be taking over that position for Tyler. If she so desires to speak. But getting into my team here, I'm starting Josh Allen home against Tampa Bay tomorrow night. Yeah, you like that one? I got Austin Eckler and Breece Hall are my running backs. Mike Evans also playing tomorrow night, and George Pickens are my receivers.
Really? Really? Cool.
Thank you. Sam Laporta is tight end. Flex, I've got Amari Cooper in there right now. And Drake London, both receivers are on the road. And then I have the Seahawks D that I just acquired. So I think my weakest link here is probably Amari Cooper in the flex position. Depending on the news with Baker, that'll determine whether or not I continue to start Mike Evans. So in my bench here, I've got a lot of options. DeAndre Hopkins, probably not going to find his way into my lineup this week because of the Tannehill injury.
Right.
George Kittle, always an option. Oh, boy. Oh, shit.
Bless you.
Cowboys defense, I don't like playing them against the Rams this week, but, you know, Stafford could always just toss in a who's a what's game and really throw 16 picks. So,
yeah. I don't know.
And then, you know, Debo is out, so he's on my IR. And I'm probably not starting any of these running backs over Eckler or Breece Hall. So I think this is where I'm going with the possibility of changing around Mike Evans and Amari Cooper, depending on their quarterback situations.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you're probably keeping Mike Evans in because I believe that Baker will play. Cooper is the problem, and that's because really? You think Cooper is a better play? No, I vehemently disagree with that call. Cooper is a bad play at Seattle on the road, especially with PJ Walker playing because he did not do well last week. Though I do know that a week or two ago, Cooper did have a good game, but Cooper, his road home split is real. And this is the road, so I don't trust Cooper this week, Blake.
Thanks for joining us, Talia.
All right. Bye, Tyler. I mean, Talia. I mean, yeah. Either way.
I mean, let's see what Tyler has to say about this one.
All right.
He says, Monty's flexes are great. Detroit running backs, Gibbs, are a smash play against one of the heaviest run funnel defenses in the league. And DJ Moore goes up against a bad Chargers secondary. On Blake's side, London helps to counter that. Overall, I have less weaknesses, especially at running back. So I guess does that advice sway you at all? Or what are you thinking on?
I mean, what did he say?
He's taking the snakes.
He's taking the snakes. Okay. Let's see what the dice say. Dice rolled a nat 20.
Very nice. But that's even, and so that means that's the Shakas.
That's the Shakas. You get to go. You don't get to go last picking yourself.
I don't trust my redraft team this year, so I'm going Shakas.
You know what? I went for you last week, I think. Did I?
Who knows? Maybe.
And you let me down, so I'm going to go against you again this week. And I'm going to go Shakas.
We're leaving Tyler on an island picking
Tyler on an island.
Never thought we'd see that.
I didn't either.
All right. Next up, we've got the 1-6 Scary Terry, projected 120 big roos, versus the 3-4 Fighting Hedgehogs, projected just 132. Yeah, this is a close one. Russell Wilson is going to be the quarterback for Scary Terry home against Kansas City. Latavius Murray and Royce Freeman are his running backs. That's barf making.
Yes, both are.
Receivers, the Raiders duo standby of Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers. Believe it or not, they're both playing at Detroit.
Wow. I guess it depends who's quarterback for them.
I just wanted to let that pin drop because it's like, oh, the two starting receivers are usually play against different teams, but in this case, they're playing against the same team. Anyway, Evan Engram is playing at Pittsburgh. Deontay Johnson and Chris Godwin are the flexes with Chris Godwin with that neck injury going into tomorrow night. Steelers defense home against Jacksonville.
I mean, Denver's a problem. I mean, Russell has been doing well, but better than last year. Let's go with that, right? Where he was terrible last year. He's top. Yeah. He's in the top teens, isn't he? I think this year.
Let's look.
I mean, Don't take my word for
he's
it.
He's the number eight quarterback on the
Okay,
year.
So he's top 10. So, I mean, he's been doing fine, though Kansas City's defense has been doing very well. You mentioned it when you went through these. The running backs are abysmal. So let's get that out of there. And I kind of chuckled about the receivers because we don't know who's good. Is it going to be Hoyer? Is it going to be what's his name? Or is Jimmy G coming back? I don't know. If Jimmy G comes back, is he on IR or is he just didn't make this last game?
I thought he was on IR.
I don't remember. Doesn't matter. All the quarterbacks are bad. But yeah, it's just sad when you have to trot out both of them. Ingram will be fine. Deontay is back and should get more work as time goes on. And I think Godwin will be okay. But yeah, not what you want.
Garoppolo just out, not IR.
Okay, so just out. All right.
Last week, anyway. He's Q this week.
Okay, so maybe he plays, and maybe that makes that a little bit better.
Fine. So looking at the bench, Joe Burrow at San Francisco.
I mean, so here's the thing. In prime time, a person who was not supposed to play very well against San Francisco on Monday night did. For Minnesota, correct?
Yep.
If he can play well against San Francisco, Joe Burrow with the people he has at the wide receiver position with Higgins probably healthy now after the bye. I think I'd rather play Burrow myself. That's just me.
Yeah.
Especially, and you're 1-6. You're on the low end of this. I'd shoot for the moon because Russell is not a shoot for the moon shot, but Joe Burrow is.
What about Corlin Sutton?
Instead of who? Instead of Jacoby?
I don't know about Jacoby, but maybe Deontay Johnson.
What? So you want to play? You still want to play both Vegas receivers?
I mean,
at Detroit on Monday night. I mean, I guess it depends who's quarterbacking.
They've both been doing fine. Is the problem?
Yeah, but Sutton has been scoring touchdowns recently.
Yeah. But so is Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you're right. Please don't start Carlin, son. All right.
Is Jeff Wilson startable instead of either of your bad starting running backs? He played Monday night and had one catch, and that was it.
Yeah. That was his first game activated off of IR.
Raheem Mostert, we didn't mention it at the top, but he was limited today, I think, at practice.
And he didn't do very well in the last game either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, Wilson has way more ceiling than either Latavius Murray or Royce Freeman does. Again, you're 1-6. You got to put your upside players in. So you're playing Joe Burrow. You're playing Jeff Wilson.
I think you're playing Amari DiMercato.
No. Oh, instead of either the – yes, you put those two in. No, against Baltimore.
I know, but
yeah, that's
Gibbs had a great game against Baltimore. You know?
No, you're putting Miles Sanders in. Houston is great against, even though you know he's been splitting with Chuba Hubbard. This is the first time Miles Sanders on a Wednesday coming off the bye does not have a questionable tag. His shoulder is healed. They paid good money to get him. Don't believe all the Chuba Hubbard hype. They would rather that Miles Sanders take this backfield over. Again, upside shot. Put Miles Sanders in. Put Jeff Wilson in. Yes. Yes. I'm up for both of those.
All right. Getting into the Fighting Hedgehogs, Justin Herbert, home against Chicago at quarterback. Bijan Robinson and Isaiah Pacheco at the running backs. Both are on the road. Jahan Dotson and Josh Palmer. Here at receiver, both going to play at home. Palmer with that cue. Mark Andrews at Arizona, notoriously bad at tight end coverage. Metcalf.
Been better this year, but better, yes, notoriously.
Not good. Yeah. DK Metcalf missed last week. Still has a cue tag going in this week. He's at home. And Alexander Mattison at Green Bay are the flexes with the defense of the Bills home against Tampa.
Well, you can't believe this lineup because, as we've mentioned many a podcast, the Hedgehogs do not change their lineup before Thursday. So Dotson's still in there from last week because people like Garrett Wilson were on a bye.
Yep.
So I believe Garrett Wilson will get in here instead of Dotson. He'll probably still play Deshaun and Pacheco because that's the best running backs he's got. And but he may switch his flex around. I mean, Metcalf was in here and took a big donut because he didn't end up playing. If he comes back, obviously you got to play him. You know, if you don't believe what I said before about shooting for with Miles Sanders, you put Chuba Hubbard in here instead of Madison because Madison is losing carries and losing them to the former Ram in Minnesota. So that's not great. But do you believe in Tank Dell and bringing him back in? Also, you know what I'm saying? Depending what Metcalf happened or happens with Metcalf, because he missed because of a concussion, then had the off week. He's back, and he was great before then. So there's a lot of options for this team for the Hedgehogs.
All right. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of options, like you said. I don't know. I don't know where I sit on Tank Dell.
I don't know. I just mentioned options, but you're putting Garrett Wilson in here.
I know. I wish there was more of a glaring person down here. I mean, even Treylon Burks has been disappointing this year.
Well, right. But you're not going to play Jahan Dotson. He's garbage.
Yeah. All right. So why don't you go first here?
Me? Well, I was going to throw the dice, but that's cool. I am going to, just because he's got options, he's going to replace these garbage people. I like the Hedgehogs. If Terry makes the moves that I mentioned, he has some upside. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is really, really, really close. But I'm going to give it to the Hedgehogs. And I'm sorry, Terry. 1-6, that's what happens. It's hard to pick for you.
All right.
And the dice got a 17.
Dice take a 17. That is going to be the Hogs.
Okay. So that's two Hogs.
I am going to take Terry. I agree with Tyler here.
Yeah.
Terry has a shot this week with the Raiders wide receiver stack. Lions are one of the biggest pass funnel teams in the league after getting smoked by Baltimore last week. However, yeah, his running backs were born in and molded by the Garbo zone. if the Hedgehogs replace Robinson and Dotson with two of Gus Edwards, Garrett Wilson, and Tank Dell, I think it's an easy win for them. Pacheco and Herbert are smash plays this week.
Yeah, there you go. That's why I picked Hedge. But he's going with Terry?
He is going the Hogs.
Oh, he's going the Hogs. So you made it all sound like he was going Terry there.
No, I agree with his that he has a shot with the
receivers
this week, and I like that for him.
Yes.
All right. Before we get into our last two matchups, just wanted to tell everybody that this episode of the Bad Clan Fantasy Football Podcast is brought to you by Razor Blade Hands, created by the Garbo Zone. Actually, Rob, why don't you tell us about Razor Blade Hands?
Really, you want to hear about Razor Blade Hands?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. You know, when you've had a long weekend, let's say you've been out camping, and you get back home and you need to shave that face that you haven't shaved for a week, but your wife got mad at you and threw all your razors out. Why she picked that particular thing to get mad about? I don't know. Well, introducing Razor Blade Hands. You just slip them on your fingers, do a little rub down. Oh, don't forget to soap up first. Razor Blade Hands. By the makers of face Band-Aids.
presented by Garbo Zone. Thank you, Garbo Zone, and all of your Garbo affiliates.
Yes. Hey, can I ask you quick? So who did you end up picking then, Hogs or Terry?
Terry.
You picked Terry. Okay.
Yep.
Because you made it sound like you were agreed with the first part of Tyler's thing, even though he picked the Hogs.
All right. Let's get to the Iowa Corn Wieners at 2-5. I'm going to get so much crap in the text message for those two nouns that I threw together.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for it. Iowa Corn Wieners are 2-5, projected 142 points. Kegerator, their opponent, is also 2-5, projected 131 points. All right, Rob, Corn Wieners, they got Trevor Lawrence, at Pittsburgh at quarterback, carrying that questionable tag. He was questionable last week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that knee injury.
Right. It's that knee.
Saquon Barkley and Raheem Mostert, both questionable. Saquon should be fine, I think. Raheem Mostert's a little bit more up in the air. Excuse me. They're both at home. Receivers, we got Keenan Allen and Brandon Ayuk, both at home as well. Dalton Kincaid, newly acquired at the tight end. Jordan Addison and Nico Collins, both road games, are the flex, with the Jets defense coming off a bye, playing at quote-unquote at the Giants. Basically, they're playing at home.
Basically. I mean, a good lineup. I mean, I assume all these Qs are going to turn to non-Qs by the end of the week, so we're just going to say Trevor Lawrence of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's given up a lot of passing yards. I like it. Saquon will be okay against the Jets. They don't have much more on offense. We're going to see who's quarterbacking. It'll be interesting. I think Saquon probably hopes it's Tyrod Taylor because he's been passing better than Daniel Jones. After getting the extension, how far are we falling? Mostert will be fine. Allen, great. Ayuk will be fine. I really like Kincaid this week. Addison showed can be a number one guy, can't he? And Nico Collins should be fine coming out of the bye. And Jets against Giants is good. So I like all of it.
All right. So there's a couple pieces on this bench that I want to throw
in. Yeah, let's highlight.
So starting from the bottom up, Kendrick Bourne at Miami. Kendrick Bourne, back-to-back weeks, 7-plus targets.
Yeah.
63 or 89 receiving yards and 63 with a touchdown last week. I mean,
yeah, but the production, who do you replace?
I know.
So this is the one problem that the Wieners have is they have what they really need. I mean, I'm not going to tell them what to do, but they need to package a receiver and something and make a trade and get themselves better at another position, because you're going to make the wrong decision, because there's so many. They got five or six. They can all play at any one time, and the best you can play is four. So you may be leaving points on your bench every single stupid week. So they have a tough road because of that.
Yeah, I hope all that got in, because my internet skipped out there for a second. But, you know, we're moving on from that. But, yeah, no, I totally get that kind of problem. You looked at my team, and I have almost the same exact issue. I've got several startable receivers. So, on that same note, what do you do with Terry McLaurin, Kendrick Bourne, or T. Higgins this week? Do they all ride your bench? Or,
I mean, they are right now. I like McLaurin this week against Philadelphia, to be fair. Kendrick Bourne, I mean, he's playing against Miami, and you figure you've got to throw, right? Because they're not going to stop him on the road. And T. Higgins is a great player. I mean, again, like I said, if it didn't go through when you froze up, you need to trade some of these receivers, package a receiver and a running back and get a better running back. You know, whatever you got to do, make offers, because you just have way too many good receivers. You know, obviously you're keeping Keenan Allen. He's and Jordan Addison. The rest are expendable, and you can insert any other guy. So, but yeah, I mean, I can't tell you to start anybody over Ayuk. Let's say I can't tell you to start anybody over Nico Collins, because either one of them could go off this week. You don't know, and that's the pill that you've swallowed for this team.
All right, looking at the kegerator, we got Lamar Jackson at Arizona. That should be another good game for him, I would think.
You would think.
James Cook and Jonathan Taylor both playing at home for the running back spot. Amon-Ra and Jerry Jeudy are the receivers, both at home. Kyle Pitts at Tennessee. Kareem Hunt and KJ Osborne both on the road for the flex. And then Jags at Pittsburgh for our defense here.
I mean, you might have heard my choking at Jerry Jeudy. That's the weakest part of this lineup. And is Kyle Pitts going to continue? I mean, who knows? That Atlanta team's impossible to figure out. James Cook, he's great between the 20s, but as soon as they hit the 20, they take him out. So he's not getting you rushing touchdowns like you'd like. We talked about Taylor and the Zach Moss thing, and if Zach Moss doesn't end up playing, Taylor could be Smash City this week. Yeah. Though I will say this, Smash City, as far as touches, New Orleans is still a good rush defense. So it's not like it's, you know, you're playing against Sisters of the Poor. Amon-Ra's great. I hate Judy. He's the worst portion of this team right now, as far as starting lineup goes.
All right. As far as our bench.
Yep. Let's take a peek.
Yeah. Okay, probably not playing this week.
I mean, yeah, there's not much you can do here, though. I might toy with switching defenses out. I get why you're playing the Jags against Pittsburgh, but for whatever reason, Pittsburgh at home plays inspired football and plays really well. And I would rather play a Dolphins team at home against a New England team that struggles to do things offensively a lot of the time, with a Mac Jones that has at times this year thrown several interceptions, has got pulled at games that they've been getting trounced in because of the turnovers. So I'd rather take that spot with the Dolphins than I would with the Jags on the road against Pittsburgh. Because somehow Pittsburgh's what? 4-2? Something like that? Surprisingly?
Yeah, weirdly. They've been...
Right. They've been weirdly effective. So, yeah, I think I would rather do that if it was me.
All right, let's get Tyler's analysis here. This matchup is gross. Keenan Allen should be a top five receiver, but Ayuk needs to be downgraded if Purdy doesn't go.
We did forget about that. That is correct. We talked about Purdy earlier. Yeah, you're right.
He says, Montgomery plays, that helps Nate a lot. My name is Blake, and I read whatever I put in front of me.
You just read it.
I did. So, I realized what was happening, and I just kept going.
Well, you just did.
Miami's defense should be in consideration for Nate, as Ramsey may be back.
Boom.
Nate should have drafted better.
Oh, okay. There's a little slip in there.
Yep. Tyler's taking the weans.
Tyler's taking the weans. Dice rolled a 15. That's a keg, right?
That is a keg.
All right.
What are you taking, Rob?
Shit. Because I like Wiener's flexes and defense better, and I believe that Sam always changes his receivers out, I believe he will take Ayuk out before the, especially if there's a thing with Purdy.
Yeah.
Then he can put any one of his other guys in. And like I said, the cues go away. I'm going to take Sam in a close one.
I think I'm also going to lean the Wieners as well.
Also, the dice are on an island.
It is a close one. I could see an argument for taking the kegerator.
Oh, yeah.
I just fundamentally don't want to. Also, I think whereas, and I don't think they should trade with each other this week, but whereas the Wieners have a wide receiver surplus and should try and offload some of those, the keg niche should try and acquire something.
Some receivers, yes. Yeah. Not this week, because you don't want to give your opponent ammo to play against you, but yes. After this week, maybe he needs to make some trades. Agreed. Yeah. All righty.
Just saying, Kegrader, the backdoor Hot Snakes Emporium of wide receivers is open. Our final matchup this week is the Commissioner's Cup, which was taken by Tubby from the Wieners last week after the Wieners held on to it for 2 weeks, I believe.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He got it a week. Yeah. And then lost it.
Took it from me, and then I played Tyler last week. So, yeah, he held it for two. Fantasy Reapers are 5-2. They're projecting 153 points. Playing here's Tubby at 3-4, projected 143 points.
For now.
The Reapers at quarterback have Patrick Mahomes at Denver. Running back, we've got Tony Pollard and Joe Mixon. Devonta Smith and Calvin Ridley are the receivers on the road here. Travis Kelce at tight end. Hollywood Brown and Josh Downs are flex spots, both playing at home with the Eagles defense at Washington.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes should do fine. I mean, he had his best week of the entire year last week. made you forget that he had kind of been, from a fantasy perspective, struggling this year.
Yeah, same with Kelsey.
Yeah, the last time they played Denver, he only got 28 points. And that was at home. Does that repeat itself, or have they turned a corner? Is Kelsey now healthy? You know, who knows? It's probably somewhere in between. He'll probably score somewhere in between the 28 and the 50 or whatever he got this last week. Pollard should be good. Let's hope Dallas is good coming off a bye at home. Mixon, whatever. Devontae Smith, in the streak that A.J. Brown has had, Devontae Smith's been an afterthought, but he's the kind of guy that can, like, get a 70-yard touchdown at any time, right? Ridley, hey, they remembered that they had Christian Kirk in that lineup. You already mentioned Kelsey, so we're not even going to go there. And Downs has been newly acquired Downs. Didn't he get him just this last week?
Yeah, he got him before.
Dropped him. Yeah, you dropped him during waivers.
Yeah, right? And like I was telling you on Sunday, I didn't want to drop him. But I needed to acquire a different defense. And he was the lowest guy in the wide receiver room. And so unfortunately, right, I had to drop
him. Like you said, you mentioned you have a lot of wide receivers. So, again, Blake's wide receiver emporium is open for business, just so everybody knows. That's 555. Blake wants to trade. Just dial that up and you'll get it. And I love the Eagles at the Commanders, because who's the most sacked quarterback in the league, Blake?
It's basically a coin flip between fucking Sam Howell or Daniel Jones.
Howellmeister, because Daniel Jones has missed a game or two. Yes, it's for sure Sam Howell, and I think the Eagles will roast on this. So a good starting lineup, especially we had mentioned earlier, I don't think he will play this week, but if Kyler Murray happened to play, that would increase Marquise Brown's stature as well. So.
All right, so let's look at Tyler's bench. There's not a ton here. You got a lot of upside running backs, but there's one guy I'm looking at, maybe two. Michael Pittman Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Is playing at home against the Saints, coming off of a 24-point performance and a 22-point performance last week. Do you play him instead of, I mean, the one I'm looking at is Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I 100% would, Blake. I mean, I think you're right on with who you're targeting, because Calvin Ridley, except for a 25-point outburst in week five, has only cleared 10 points one time since week one. And that was getting 11 in week four. Otherwise, it's a 5, it's a 7, it's a 7, and it's a 1 last week at New Orleans. So, yes, I am not playing Calvin Ridley this week, and I totally would put Michael Pittman in.
Do you still like the starting of Josh Downs if you're starting Michael Pittman? Or do you maybe flip to a JSN who got into the end zone last week? Or is JSN only getting in there and getting 7 targets because Metcalf was out? I don't know. You can just step into some weird zones there, but I think Pittman has to be in the lineup.
I think Pittman has to be in. I don't know why you're putting Downs in, because he was the big flashy last week. Maybe. But I would rather have the guy that I know is going to get catches. And I would rather put him in. I would put him in for Downs, and then I would put somebody else in for Ridley. I don't know. I honestly don't know who I would put in instead. No, actually, I know what I would do. I would probably play Tajay Spears instead of Downs, and then I would put Pittman where Ridley is. Because Atlanta's halfway decent against the run. And, yes, I would do that. Just me. I'm crazy. I don't like playing Josh Downs and having Pittman on your bench. I just think that's, I don't think, but Tyler can do what he wants to do.
Alrighty. Talking about, here's Tubby. We've got Jordan Love at the quarterback here, home against Minnesota.
Okay.
Travis Etienne and Alvin Kamara at running backs. Not worrying about that Kamara Q tag.
No.
Jamar Chase and Christian Kirk on the road for receivers. Got Dallas Goedert at Washington. Flexes are Josh Jacobs and Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel carrying that Q tag. And then we have the Niners defense at home against Cincinnati. I just want to know, before we really break this down, why is Curtis still in this lineup?
I'm assuming that Tubby hasn't made any changes because he 100% needs to come out, and Adam Thielen 100% needs to come in.
Yes.
So I just assume he hasn't made changes since the bye, or I mean, excuse me, since he was on a bye. So yeah, Samuel will come out. Thielen would go in. Otherwise, I think this, and I also think that that's really all you can do. And I think he put Love in because of Purdy being, you know, as a cue for right now. So maybe he did do this on purpose. I don't know.
I mean, if Purdy's a full go, is he's playing at home against Cincinnati. Is he started above Love?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so.
If Purdy's a full go, yes. Because Love has struggled with his percentage. He got 2 touchdown passes last week. So, like, he was a serviceable quarterback, especially as, like, a Q2 in Dynasty. But I wouldn't want to, like, start him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, Adam Thielen has to be in here.
Yeah. No, I go back. He had to have made changes because Chase is in here, who was on bye last week. So he had to make changes. So Samuel's still in here on purpose for some reason. No, he needs to put Thielen in here as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
All right. Otherwise, I think, that lineup's pretty much set.
Yeah.
Let's go into our selections here. We'll go with Tyler first.
Yeah, since it's his team.
Tyler, he says, I'm terrified of this team.
He should be.
Tubby's train has no brakes and is coming in hot with a great running back room. I'm playing Downs over Pittman this week in a week where Pittman should get Marshawn Lattimore.
Okay, so that's where he's thinking.
And the Saints give up 38% of targets to slot wide receivers. I probably need my combo of Smith, Ridley, Brown to put up 40, which is not a good feeling. I just have to hope that Jacobs and Jamar have down games, and he's taking himself.
All right. He's taking himself. All right. I always, whenever New Orleans is up, I always forget that Lattimore is there. Though, to me, Lattimore usually only Lattimore is Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, it's and, really and significant on there.
I don't know, but they move Pittman around a lot too. So I get it. I get why he's doing that now. It makes more sense. Sorry if I made you think you were stupid. Well, you wouldn't care. The Dice take one. They're taking Tubby.
All right. So I'm just looking at, because in week 4, Mike Evans only had 3 for 40.
Yeah.
On 3 target. Well, he only got targeted 3 times. So.
Well, yeah, but they, they're, you know, well known for having this crazy matchup.
You said Dice rolled a 1?
Mm-hmm.
That's Tubby.
Yep.
I'm going to go Tubby because, I don't know, I like being against Tyler. And he fucking boat raced me last week with Mahomes and Kelsey, so I'm annoyed.
Yep. Oh, and I think Tubby does better if he replaces Samuel with Thielen. I think if he does that, this is a real, real, real close matchup, like within a 5 spot. But because he's 5-2, and I know Tubby's, you know, done good since going 1-4. I think he's 1-2 in a row, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Reapers here.
All right. We don't have time for the little game that I set up for here at the end.
Yeah, we do. We got 4.5 minutes.
Do you think we can fit it all in?
Let's spin it.
Oh boy. All right. Let's give it a shot.
Do it.
Choose your character.
All right. So what I was going to do is I was going to read you out some stat lines of a quarterback, a running back, and a receiver that in our scoring format.
Okay.
And you try to figure out who they are. So this is a quarterback, the number one at the position, also the number one fantasy scorer in our league's format.
Okay.
Do you have a guess just based off of that before I get into some of their lines here?
I do not.
All right, so we have, let's see, what is this?
It's the quarterback, yes.
17 touchdowns, passing touchdowns this year.
Okay.
Sorry, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 2,050 yards. They've carried the ball 12 times for 16 yards.
You know what that sounds like?
Who?
It sounds like Minnesota's quarterback.
It is Kirk Cousins. He is the leading scorer.
You're kidding. It's old Kirk?
Yep. He's ahead of Patrick Mahomes by 2.25 points. I think that's a little bit skewed because of Mahomes had a, 60-point game last week?
57 or something.
57, and Kirk had a 40. So it was by even a greater margin before Monday night's game.
So the only thing that gave that away to me was the rushing.
That's what I thought would tip
it. Because I was like, I know that going into last week, I knew that who am I thinking? Your quarterback had
Josh
Allen had 16 total touchdowns, but many of those were rushing touchdowns. And when you said that he didn't have many yards, I was like, okay, yeah, that's got to be Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. All right. So talking about a running back.
All right.
Number two at the position.
Okay.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18th in overall scoring. So that's including receivers, running backs, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So number two, running back. Got it.
84 carries.
Okay.
474 yards.
Okay.
This should be the big one. 9 touchdowns on the ground.
It's got to be from Seattle.
No.
Damn.
He's got 19 catches for 151 yards and 2 more touchdowns.
It's ETN.
It is Raheem Mostert.
Oh, it is Mostert. Oh, God, I should have said that.
Mostert's right. Number two running back in our scoring frame at top 20 out of all players.
All right, let's do last receiver. One,
I've got a receiver.
I'm dumb.
Number four in receivers, and he'll be top 15 in all players. 58 catches, 752 yards, and 2 touchdowns on 82 targets so far through 7 weeks.
Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua, rookie, top 15 fantasy player.
When you gave all that and said 2 touchdowns, I knew that because I own Puka, I knew he had 2 touchdowns, and so it had to be him. There you go. Now, number four. Look at that.
I just wanted to highlight a few players that are in positions in fantasy that nobody expected at this top of the year. So, yeah. All right, let's get out of here. We're running out of time.
Just going to say, at the halfway point, I would say best free agency pickup because I got him for no dollars.
Yep, here we go. Ba da 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 ba 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 da.
Small world!
Thanks, guys. Let's get out of here.